A Christmas Story, Man in His Element, or A New Way to Keep House. Part 1. A Woman's Plan. My dear Mary, said I, one morning, to my widowed sister, as she sank into an armchair in front of my library fire, and heaved a sigh replete with exhaustion and sadness. What is the matter? Enough for a woman, William, but of course, nothing for an old bachelor like you, who have only to pay your own bills, eat your meals without the trouble of ordering them, lounge through a clean house with no chasing after servants to sweep and wash and dust, sit in your study, heaping log after log on your devoted andirons, and always meeting me with such a provoking cheerfulness, while I have not a moment to myself, am all the time running to give out stores to one girl, soap and starch to another, candles and linen to the chambermaid, and orders to the coachman, and, even then, I have no peace, for, no sooner do I sit in the nursery, hoping to derive a few minutes' comfort from a quiet so, then my ears are filled with the dissatisfaction of one girl, the complaints of another, the threatenings to leave of another, and the quarrels of all. I declare, William, I think it was too bad in you to insist on our leaving that comfortable boarding house, where we lived so much cheaper, and had no trouble. It was there, with my small family, that I appreciated the freedom from care that you old selfish, unsympathizing bachelors enjoy, and no wonder you laugh at us. The fact is, you don't know anything about it, you dash. My dear Mary, I repeated, you have said enough, I only ask for a few minutes to put this matter in a new light, and, in time, you yourself will be convinced. That's all very well, William, but what's the use of talking to you men? I never convinced one in my life. No, sir. Man is an animal that never acknowledges either that he is wrong, or that a woman is right. I tell you, servants are the bane of my existence. You cannot make them happy, do what you may. Why, only the other day I gave Jane a nice pair of gaiters that I had but partially worn out. She thanked me, and I felt pleased that I had done one kind action, though it was a self-denial. The very next morning, in coming out of the kitchen, I passed the ash barrel, and looked in it to see if the cinders would ever be sifted. What do you suppose I saw there, mixed up with lemon peel, tea leaves and ashes? My boots, William, the very pair I had given Jane the day before. Well, what did you do? Do? Why, as soon as I could recover I called her to me, and asked why she had thrown them there. She said without any excitement, that was the worst of it, I couldn't wear them at him. Why not? I said. They were too large for me. Too large for her, the jade, think of that. Don't say any more, Mary, I understand the case perfectly, and since we cannot argue upon the matter just listen to my views, without any interruption, in the form of a philosophical lecture. It will be very brief but to the point. Though I have never kept house, as I am an old man I must have lived somewhere all my life. Being possessed of a healthy and observing intellect, I have seen and digested much, and it is all easy to my mind. I have heard you through as I have heard others through, I have seen your sufferings and your trials, as I have seen many, very many suffer and endure trials, and I have solved the problem and told it all to my seeker. Well, now that is selfish, William. Not at all, my dear sister, what lady would tolerate the slightest interference with her housekeeping? How long would you permit me to stay here, in financial partnership, if I even offered one word of advice? Oh, how unjust, speak out now and let me hear what you have confided to your seeker. Well, in the first place, there are two kinds of ways to keep house. No. One is to keep your servants, no. Two is to be kept by them. Herein is the keynote of much trouble. Another difficulty is fear. I have been perfectly amazed to listen to ladies when asking a waiter to do something for them. Just think of it. I heard Mrs. Dash, at table the other day, turn round and look towards a red-headed, uplifted girl, with a conciliatory smile and say, Betty, would you mind giving me a glass of water? Zounds, madam, I wanted to scream. And only last night, while paying a visit I heard a lady who rules her elegant husband to within an inch of his life, say to the waiter, John, please put on your things and muffle up well, for it is very cold and do take this note to Mrs. Henry's, and, almost with the same breath, she turned on her husband and said, Albert, go down and get that medicine at once for you know I cannot retire till I take it, you can see your friend any time, looking at me in a hard manner and then at the clock. Now what do you call that? That woman has courage to meet her equals and put all things straight, but a menial crushes her. Well, of course you don't understand those things, William, but I do. I suppose so, but I don't want to. It is all wrong, all humbug, all trash. I exclaimed as my excitement knocked the ashes of my seeger over my clean shirt. What would you have us do? Exclaimed Mary, a little nettled at my last remark. "Do?" I replied, with emphasis, "let the men keep house. Watch them, and learn the true method, which has for its motto: maximum of work, minimum of trouble." By this time I began to feel anxious. My sister had gone off into a fit of laughter that at first greatly roused my ire, but ultimately awakened anxiety, for she could not gain her breath. I rang for a servant, of course none came, for she always had to call them. They were having such a good time downstairs, they could not hear the bell, so I poured out a glass of water, and, while she drank, seized the poker, stirred up the dying embers, put on a good backlog, lit a large and strong cabana to lend zest to my courage, and prepared to make one more effort for victory. Gradually subsiding into a few occasional chromatic giggles, Mary looked through her beautiful eyes, glistening with tears of fun, and said, in a smothered whisper, "Well, and what would you do?" "Do?" I repeated. "Let me have the reins for 1 month, and I will show you." There. It was out, and I felt relieved. "But, William," she whispered, pointing with anxiety to the door which stood ajar, "how long do you suppose they would stay with you?" "Until they got married or died," I answered with confidence, and, sitting bolt upright, I ran both thumbs under my waistcoat armholes and played on my chest with my fingers, while I puffed tremendously to envelop my countenance with smoke, the better to hide my ill-concealed smile. "You single men are too amusing, my dear brother," said she, looking earnestly at